both ends, and that hadn't been no different this week. In fact, I think I burned it up on both ends harder this week than I ever have. And you know, I remember being a young preacher and starting out preaching, and churches would let me come preach and do revivals and still try to pastor Brother Jack. And amen, I'd just run. I'd run. Buddy, I'd run. If I was, amen, within 3 or 4 hours of the house, I'd drive it back and forth every night. And I'll be honest, I felt like a sissy this week driving an hour and 40 minutes back and forth. And amen, get up early the next morning and just all day long kind of walking through like this and have to do it all over again. Amen. Y'all can feel sorry for me. It's all right. But amen, somebody said, I was talking, in fact, one of the preachers I preach with on Thursday night, I was sharing with him, amen, how wore out I was. And he said, oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. And so I guess we have that to look forward to. I do love trying to serve the Lord in these days. And serving the Lord is no grudge, and it's not a grievous thing to my heart. And I know we all go through hard times, but even in the hard times, it's still such a joy to be able to serve the Lord, especially in these last days. In these last days, I understand there's a lot happening. We can't about even keep up with it all. Amen. But we are still saved, and we do still have the call of God on our life. And think about it. Think about it in these terms, that you could have been born at any season of human history, and yet God lets you be born in this one. And so evidently we're here ourselves for such a time as this. And let's not squander those opportunities and squander that responsibility that we have upon our life. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read just a verse or two and get into this thought. We'll cover, amen, by way of remembrance, some things here tonight, and get into the new material as we bring this thought to a close. We're in John chapter number 8, and verse number 21. We'll begin our reading again. The Bible said, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come?" And they could have only hoped that he would. He wasn't going to kill himself. He's going beyond what they can even comprehend. And so Jesus said in our text verse, verse 23, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." And so he said in verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And he didn't say unless you is baptized, you die in your sin. He didn't say unless you join the church, you'll die in your sins. And he didn't say if you didn't change and turn a new leaf in your life and do some good deeds and good works that you'd die in your sin. He said, if you don't believe that I am the one that God has sent to be your Savior, you will die in your sins. And so there's only one way to get your sins taken care of, and that is to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said here in verse 25, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would humbly bow, Lord, in prayer one more time for this very service, and Lord, for this very moment and this very hour. Lord, we stand in a place that no man can stand and be effective if he stands in his own power. And so, Lord, we would ask you one more time to give us power beyond our own. Lord, as Paul said that when he preached, Lord, the church at Corinth, he did so in demonstration of spirit and of power. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd give us that same unction and that, Lord, you'd help us to be able to preach and challenging God's people in these days. Lord, there may be a sinner under the sound of our voice in the sanctuary, by some radio somewhere, maybe, Lord, watching in on the live stream. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd convict their heart, and Lord, would you deal with them and draw them to yourself and save them, Lord, in this very day, in this very hour. Lord, for that we'd be grateful, Lord. Send a revival to the church, and Lord, revive every heart and every life and family of the people of God tonight. Lord, I pray as we examine our relationship to the Savior, Lord, would you please tonight, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you and we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jesus said in this text, in dealing with the Pharisees and the crowd that is gathered around, he's speaking of a record of himself, and they're beginning to debate the Lord Jesus concerning who he is. Jesus making no bones about it in verse number 23, as we quickly get into the thought this evening, said, "Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." And so the Lord Jesus here is dealing with the fact of where he is from and how that is set in contrast to where these are from and where these are of. You see, he is from above and he is not of this world. And yet the crowd that he is speaking to cannot understand him because they, my friend, are connected to a completely different source. And you see, they were from beneath. And Jesus would explain that later on in this text, when he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." And he began to lay into them why they live the way they live and do the things they do. It is a matter about where they are from. Jesus, in dealing with where they are from, said, "I am from above." In other words, I've come down from the Father. I have a mission that is from heaven. I've been sent with a commission that has come from the Heavenly Father. And so Christ is not from beneath, he is from above. And then he says, "Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." And so Christ would deal with that later on in the text, as he would deal with and speak to them about their committing of sin, and that whosoever committeth sin, he said, is the servant of sin. And so the whole context, I believe, of John chapter number 8 boils down to the question about who are you of? And we're considering Christ and who Christ is of, and who you and I may would be of this evening. We understand that when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is testified to Pilate later on before his crucifixion, where he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If my kingdom been of this world, then my servants would have drew their sword, and they would have begun to fight." He said, "Henceforth, my kingdom is not of this world." And so Christ was testifying to the fact, and my friend, again, he is not of this world. His kingdom is not going to begin how kingdoms of this world arise by authority and by bloodshed and warfare, that is that of those that are being conquered, but rather his kingdom was going to begin by his own bloodshed. And that was, amen, what and for what purpose he had been sent from above. And so he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He prayed, amen, for you and I in John 17 to the Heavenly Father and said, And my friend, those that the Father had given him were not of the world, that he would not pray that the Father should take us out of the world, but that he would keep us from the evil that is in the world. And Christ said, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so, amen, those that belong to Christ are no more of the world than Christ was not of this world. And we looked at the change that takes place as Christ when teaching John 17 to his disciples that had they been of the world would have loved their own. But they're not of the world anymore. Why? Because Jesus said, I called you out of the world. And so because you are of me and that you love me yet, and that you're no longer of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And so we understand there was a divine call. If you're saved tonight, there was a day when there was a divine call that had the Savior come calling you to Himself. And in that transaction, when by faith and repentance you turn to Him, amen, He brings you out of the kingdom of this world, out of that kingdom of darkness, that kingdom of being the servant of sin, and therefore He makes us and translates us into His own. A glorious kingdom. Wasn't that a glorious day? Amen. No wonder we sing with a tear in our eye and a hand uplifted. Amen. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Amen. I'm glad I'm not of this kingdom anymore. Amen. I'm not of this world anymore because of the grace of God that saved you and I. And so when Jesus said, ye are from beneath. Amen. I'm not in that crowd anymore. When He said, I'm from above. Amen. I can identify with what that statement means. Amen. When the Lord said, ye are of this world, thank God tonight. Hey, Brother John, I am no longer in that crowd that is of this world. I understand we're in the world. I understand we gotta live in the world. I understand that in our fleshly body we are serving God in this world. And buddy, I'm telling you, it is filled with all sorts of things. But hey, man, we, my friend, as the people of God, understand. Hey, Brother Ahab, we're not of this anymore. Heaven is our home, and Jesus is our Savior God. Amen, is our Heavenly Father. And, amen, things are different and better now. And so that stands to reason the question tonight that we've been preaching on, who are you of? Amen, who are you of? Are you from beneath? And are you of this world? Or do you know something? Amen, about He who is from above. Have you ever been translated out of this, amen, into that kingdom that is not of this world? Amen, I'm telling you, there's got to be a time in your life. Amen, where things are made different. There's got to be a time in our lives where Jesus makes the difference. Amen, and I believe this world does well tonight. Amen, to hear and consider the truth in verse 23. Amen, and ask themselves, who am I of? Amen, who am I of? And so we've been looking at this matter of what areas of our life would reveal, amen, who we are of. And we've looked at several from 1 John already. In fact, we've looked at two. Amen. And I'll just briefly mention them. And I've got a lot of material to cover tonight. And I want to teach us some things if the Lord will help us. Amen. But we looked at our relationship to the church reveals who we are of. Our relationship to the church reveals who we are of. And so in 1 John chapter number 2. In fact, let me say this when we come to the book of 1 John. Amen. If there is a main theme, it is that John is writing that we may know some things. Amen. And in fact, he says, you do know these things. And our dear friend, Brother Keith Bowles, has been preaching out of the book of 1 John in recent days on you know better. Amen, you know better. And really that would be the theme of 1 John. Amen, is that John is writing to remind us, amen, about what we know and that we know better. Amen, and that we know Christ and that we know all these things. But if there was a secondary theme to the book of 1 John, it would be that John is dealing with that very question that we are posing in our study about who are you of. He writes about who we're of. What side are you on in this thing of, amen, being of the world or being of God? Are you of this system that is here? Or are you of that kingdom that is over there? And so I believe that would be important to, amen, understand. When we come to 1 John chapter 2, we understand in verse number 15 that John begins to lay into these believers about their relationship to this world that we are in. And he gives them very direct commands in verses 15 through 17 concerning the world and the things that are in the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. I remind you that he said, amen, he said, I didn't say it, but he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He reminds us that all that is in the world, amen, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so he's dealing with, again, who are you of? Amen, who are you serving? What kingdom are you serving? Amen, what is your relationship to the Father versus the world? Amen, he reminds us the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then, my friend, immediately in verses 18 down through verse number 20, he begins to deal with how you can tell who you're of. Amen, if you're of the world or of the Father, will be identified in your relationship to the church. Amen. He said, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. I ain't got time to hang up here. Amen. I got so much to get to. Y'all, amen, at least look like you've heard this before and I can move on. But, amen, their relationship to the church. He said they went out. Amen. Speaking of these that have the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. That is, they are anti what he has just said. Amen. They are not opposed to the world. They are not opposed to the things that are in the world. And they, my friend, disagree with what John has said. And they disagree with the commandments that Christ has given. And they disagree with what the church stands for. And John said they went out from us because they were not all of us. Are you listening tonight? A man is dealing with a man and woman's relationship to the church. There's a disagreement in verse 18. There's a departure in verse 19. Thank God there's a dedication in verse number 20. Amen, that John said, I know there's some of you that have received an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You are of the Father, amen, and you stay with it because you have it, amen, and thank God for that. And I won't re-preach all that, amen, that we give, but it's dealing with our relationship to the church. And I'll say tonight, amen, thank God for the church of the living God. Amen. I am what I am tonight because of the grace of God. Amen. But that grace has been ministered and supplied to my life. Amen. Not only in prayer and in my personal priesthood. Amen. But in many a days it's been supplied by the ministry of the local church. amen, in the ministry of it. And I thank God today, amen, I testified this morning that before I got saved, I didn't love the church. I didn't appreciate the church. I didn't understand what they stood for. I was in disagreement with it. But when the Lord saved me, praise God, amen, there's a change took place in my life. Amen, and I ain't looking, listen, I'm not looking at it, amen, to go out from it. I'm looking to hook up with it, amen, because, amen, of who I am of. And so our relationship to the church. And then we looked in chapter number 4, our relationship to the truth. Our relationship to the truth. I've got a Haitian old, amen, and we'll be here till midnight, and I ain't planning on that. Amen, but we understand our relationship to the truth. Amen, in chapter number 4, in verses 1 through 6, amen, John the Beloved said, amen, there in verse number 5, they are of the world, speaking of these spirits. Amen. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so we looked in this text and talked about, amen, hereby we know the spirit of truth and how, amen, verses 1 through 6 deal with a revelation of how a child of God in church can maintain a right relationship to the truth. Amen. By profession that distinguishes us in the truth. And we looked at how that, amen, there is the person that directs us in truth. Amen. The Holy Ghost and the presence of the Spirit. Amen. Keeps us from going off into error and keeps us balanced in the truth. Amen. I'm glad I ain't in this thing on my own. I'm glad I ain't got to figure it out. I'm glad, thank God, the spirit of truth in us is greater, amen, than all the falsehoods, and greater than he that is in the world. Amen. He's bigger, larger, and stronger, amen, in us because we are of Christ. We have the right relationship to the truth. And we closed out dealing with the preaching that disciples us in truth. How that John said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Amen. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he's dealing with his own authority as a God called man of God. Amen. He's not making himself a pope. He's not making himself a lord over the people of God. That God gives men of God in our life to teach us truth. Amen. You say, I don't like some of the things that's preached. It don't matter. Amen. If you like it or not, John said, if you're really of God, amen, when a real man of God is preaching the real word of God, there's something on the inside that identifies with that truth. Amen. And that truth will be heard, and that truth will be lived. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so our relationship to the church and our relationship to the truth. Let me give you one more, and we'll draw this to a close tonight. And I wanna be real instructive. It's kind of amazing how this maybe hits on some themes that, amen, at least one theme we hit on this morning, but amen, it'll be all right. I call this in chapter number 5. Amen. The matter of who are you of is answered by our relationship to the Savior. Now, I want to say tonight, I ain't got a dearer relationship in this life, amen, or the life I'm expecting by the blessed hope in days to come, than my relationship with Jesus Christ. I love Him tonight, amen, and I love Him because He first loved me. I ain't got a dear friend. I ain't got a more understanding companion in this world that, amen, knows everything about me. Amen, knows me inside and outside. Amen, knows my uprisings and my downsittings. Amen, I'm glad tonight I'm in a in a relationship with the Son of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight I'm in Him and He's in me. Amen. I'm glad when you began to talk about the Son of God and when you began to talk about the Savior, I'm glad I know who you're talking about. Amen. You see, there's a day I didn't know very much about it. Hell, I knew a lot in my head about it. I knew what others had said about Him. Amen. But you listen to a child of God preach tonight. Amen. They can unashamedly stand and say, amen, I know Him and I love Him. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight for my relationship to the Savior. It's amazing to me when John begins to close this. It's writing after writing five chapters. Amen. Listen, this ain't Thomas the doubter that's writing this. Amen. This ain't Peter, though I believe Peter and Thomas both loved the Lord and had their relationship with the Lord. Amen. But this ain't Peter, and this ain't stick his foot in his mouth Peter. Amen. This ain't too big for his britches Peter. Amen. This is John the beloved, Brother Tim. The one, my friend, that in the Lord's earthly life, amen, spent more intimate time with the Lord Jesus, amen, leaning upon His bosom and listening to the heartbeat of the Son of God, amen, the one that in the hour of betrayal and in the hour when others were asking, is it, amen, said, it may be Peter, and I can say it be James, and I can maybe say how Thomas would stray, but Lord, amen, it ain't me. And he wasn't being proud about it, but Jack, when he said, Lord, who is it? Amen, there's a confidence in him that sprung forth from his relationship to the Savior. Amen, he knew that all was well. He knew that all was well between his heart and the heart of the one that had saved it. Amen, and so then is this John that at and closes this book, amen, emphasizing that we know Him and emphasizing the thought, amen, that a man must be of God and of Christ, and he does so revealing our relationship to the Savior. Amen. You say, preacher, where do you see it? Let's read our verses quickly. Amen. I'm going to be done quick as I can. Amen. I may have to make this a two-parter, but amen. Understand, he says here in verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Listen to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love what John says here. This is the true God and eternal life. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. Amen. About eternal life is to know, amen, God and His Son that God has sent. And John is saying, John is saying, Brother Randy, that, amen, we have been brought to an understanding. We have been given that we did not understand. Amen, we have been shown the way to eternal life. And that eternal life, amen, is wrapped up in a relationship of Christ. That is, my friend, our relationship with Christ. I am simply found in that we know Him. Amen. Do you know Him tonight? Amen. You say, I know a lot about math, and I know a lot about business, and I know a lot about running this and doing that. And listen, there's nothing wrong with knowing those things tonight. Amen. But if you know all that is to be known of this world, and you do not know the Savior, and my friend, you're missing out on eternal life. It's what John is saying. We know that the Son of God is come. Amen. Listen, tonight, there's no doubt about that in my heart. There's no doubt about that in my heart. You say, but you didn't see Him come. You didn't hear Him when He was here. You didn't gaze your eyes upon Him. Amen. But John the Beloved said, we know that the Son of God is come. Amen. Listen, I believe it like, amen, I believe it as sincerely as John the Beloved. Amen. Who did see Him and did behold Him and handle Him. Amen. See His glory. Amen. I believe it tonight. Amen. I know that the Son of God is come. How do you know that? Because He said, amen, we have been given, there have given us, amen, an understanding. I'm talking about our relationship to the Savior. There are some tonight who claim to be saved, that my friend, when it boils down to it, amen, need to check up on their relationship to the Savior. You ain't saved because you say you're saved. You're not of His kingdom because you say you are. According to what John is saying, it bears out in a man's relationship to the Savior. Amen. He said in chapter number 5 and in verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. And so He's dealing with faith and dealing with understanding it and dealing with that the Holy Ghost imparts to a man. Amen. To know Christ is to be of God. And I say that again tonight. Amen. To know Christ is to be of God. Amen. You are not from above, and you are not, amen, you cannot be said of you and I that we're not of this world if we do not know Christ. Amen. According to these verses surrounding this thought in verse number 20, we are to be cautious with our relationship to Christ. Amen. So if I know Him and I am of God, amen, I am to be very serious about my relationship to my Savior. Amen. How do I do that? Let me give you three things quickly, and I'll be done. Now don't pass out on the first and say, preach, you done preach that today, and I'm just sad to report to us, Brother Mike, we can't. If I preached on it every service, we wouldn't be preaching on it enough. But number one, if you're taking notes, by avoiding sin. Amen. If our relationship to the Savior is going to be what it needs to be, we're going to have to learn to maintain it by avoiding sin. Look with me again in verse number 18. We know this. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And I know that's a tough verse. Amen, Brother A.L. They some that choke on that. And they some want to throw that verse out. And they want to quote other verses that seem to contradict even John himself. Amen, said earlier in his writing that if a man say he hath no sin, that this man is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now the same John saying, we know that no man that is born of God, amen, that those that are, amen, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And Brother Tim, I want to look at John and say, well, John, which is it then? Don't you got to understand, John is dealing with two errors that have creeped up even within the church all the way back in them days. And I would submit to you tonight that these errors are still alive and well tonight in 2021. Amen. There are some that believe that, amen, a practical, amen, perfecting of sanctification in this life. And when John said, any man that says he doesn't have sin, is a liar and the truth is not in him. He's dealing with the fact that we're not glorified yet. We've not received, amen, that eternal sanctification that is going to come. We do falter and we do fail, amen, but when we do, thank God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, amen, and if we'll confess our sin, he said the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Buddy, I hate to say it, but I've had to use that more times than I should. Amen. Don't judge me. You have too. The other error that John is dealing with is the error that says, I can live any old way I want and keep running back to the same sin over and over and over and over and still be right with God. And John is saying, we know we sin. And anybody says they don't sin, they're a liar. But that crowd that keeps running back to sin, John said, we know that he that is born of God sinneth not. The idea here is that those truly of God sinneth not. Amen. Sin is simply means to miss the mark or to err and is in the ongoing state of sinning the same sin over and over and over and over again. John's saying that man ain't born of God. Now he may have made a profession. He may have sounded religious. That man may have all the lingo down. But John the Beloved, I didn't say it now, Brother L. John the Beloved said, a man that is born of God and knows the Lord and is in relationship to Christ, he may sin. And anybody who says they don't sin is a liar. That man that keeps running back to sin and going back to the same old slop and back to the same old lascivious life, amen, claiming the grace of God in a relationship with Christ, John the Beloved said he is telling on himself who he's of. Is that right? And so we are to avoid sin to that degree. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, I got to hurry. Amen. By avoiding sin. Amen. Don't keep missing the mark on the same thing. Amen. If you sin, that's one thing. Amen. Get it right and let the Lord put your past in the past and go on for the glory of God. Amen. But John said, don't quit running back to the same old thing. Why? Because that, and you got to get a hold of this. When a man's relationship to the Savior is right, when it's right, he doesn't habitually practice sin. You can say whatever you want, and I know all the little cliches that sound cute in our day, but John the Beloved, amen, said, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He don't keep running back to it. In fact, John the Beloved said, the child of God who is in relationship with the Savior. Notice what he goes on to say. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. Now, I want to be honest with you tonight. Please get a hold of this. Amen. We do not have within ourselves an ability, amen, to be able to quit sinning. We do not possess within our own fleshly nature, amen, even an appetite to stop sinning. And yet John the Beloved said, amen, you do as a child of God, one that has been begotten of God and in relationship to the Savior, and through that relationship, you can have victory over sin. He keepeth himself. What does that mean? It means to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon. It means to prevent from escaping. It means to detain or to withhold. And so John is saying that our relationship to the Savior is maintained and reflects that we are of the Father and that we're not of the world anymore. And that is reflected, Brother Bob, by avoiding sin. And if a man is going to avoid sin, he must, amen, let Christ teach him how to keep himself from evil. You got to guard yourself. You got to put safeguards in your life. I don't mean to be mean tonight, but Mike, God knows my heart. We're in a generation of people that know nothing about keeping themselves. As a pastor, I get drawn into so many things, and it's amazing the blame that people put on others when they sin. Amen. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, where art thou? Adam, why'd you hide yourself? Well, I tell you, Lord, that woman you gave me. Eve, why did you do this thing? Well, that old serpent and the blame game. And you know what John is teaching us here? He's teaching, if you fall into sin, it ain't nobody's fault but your own. I am to keep myself. I'm to keep myself from sin. I am to watch over my relationship to the Savior with great care. I'm to love Him more than I love the temptations that are in the world, of things that are drawing my eye away and seek to divide my heart from Him. I am to be so madly in love with Him and my relationship to Him, and I watch over that thing so eagle-eyed. Amen. When's the last time you gave attention to your relationship with the Savior? Said, I can't have this in my life. It may be an outward thing. It may be an inward thing. It may, I don't know what. We could preach all night. You know how many sins we could name before we got to yours? Be here a while. But we know what it is. We wonder why don't we enjoy. Why don't we enjoy church? Why don't we enjoy the prayer place? Why don't we enjoy, amen, our walk with God? Why don't we enjoy reading our Bible? Could it be that we have not avoided sin? Amen. Watch this here. I'll give you this. I'll close this verse out. I hate to tell you what I'm about to do to you. I'm about to end it and we'll pick it up later. Ain't that awful? This is tough, and it stays tough, man. John, for being John the Beloved, Brother Tim, he sure is bold, man. He's bold. Notice what he said. Oh, dear God, help us to get this. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Why should we be so diligent and serious about our relationship to the Savior? Because of how John ends his verse, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I want us to get a hold of this. I know we preached on sin a lot today. Amen. Would y'all agree with me? We need this tonight. I need this tonight. Amen. I need this tonight. You know what John has said? He's saying you better make your relationship to Him. Hey man, you better make it count. You better praise it. You better value it very highly. And in doing so, avoid sin. Keep yourself from sin. Because if you don't, what you're doing, you're opening up your life to the wicked one to touch you. I have heard people when they fall to certain sins, I've heard it over and over and over and over for nearly 20 years of pastoring. Here's what they'll say. Say, well, the devil made me do it. That ain't what this verse is teaching. The devil does not and cannot make you do anything. John is actually teaching the opposite. Not that the devil comes to you and then you sin. The devil touches you, then you fall to sin. John is saying you make the choice to sin. And when you do, it so hurts your relationship with Christ that you now are opened up to the wicked one and he touches you. You better get a hold of this. What does it mean? The word toucheth. Brother Jag, it's a sad word. Here's what it means. It means to attach oneself to. There's so many in our day. You say, boy, preach, you've been so negative today. Well, I'm being positively true with you. That when we take lightly a relationship with Christ, if we have been begotten, if we have been born of God, we're not to keep running back to the same thing, because John said that if you're not keeping yourself, if you're not safeguarding your life, and every time you fall, the devil finds a foothold to be able to attach himself to your life. There are families falling apart. Their lives being destroyed tonight because of somebody's relationship to a sin. If they want more than they want a relationship with Him. Amen. Gerald, the devil has attached himself in their life and he has beaten them to death. Amen. Why are we so quiet? I know why. Do you love Him tonight? Do you remember what the Bible said? I love Hebrews 11 about when it comes down in the hall of faith. Amen. That hall of fame of faith, when it gets to Moses, it said that Moses, he valued his relationship to the Lord, that he made a decision, he made a choice, and he'd rather suffer reproach and affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed Christ to be more. He esteemed his walk with God to be more. He wanted more of God than he wanted out of Egypt. And I'm telling you, dear God, help us in this hour and get a hold of the truth that sin is not worth it. There's not one sin the world can offer to you and that. There's not one sin the flesh can take and consume that would be worth opening up our life to the wicked one having his way. Amen. Preacher, how do I maintain my relationship to the Savior that is a reflection that I am not of this world anymore? By avoiding sin. Is that too strong? It ain't too strong, is it? There's the avoiding of sin. I feel like I could preach on right now. I'm not. I'm done. But there's the avoiding of subversion. Let me just give it to you. I may come back and preach it. We'll see how the Lord leads. I feel like this is important. And we know that we are what? Verse 19, we are of God. Notice what he follows this up with. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 18, we're to avoid sin by avoiding sin. Verse 19, by avoiding subversion. Amen. You're living in a wicked world. John said all the way back in his day, the whole world lieth in wickedness. If it was wicked back then, Brother Larry, if it was wicked back then, and the whole world back then lied in wickedness, it ain't gotten better in 2,000 years. And yet the average child of God of our day, I'm not being mean, amen, there's a lot of days I'm below average. Talk about all of us. The average child of God of our day is so submersed into this world. Wonder why we can't enjoy our relationship with Him. You got to avoid sin. You got to avoid subversion. Last of all, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. You got to avoid self. Say, preacher, self? Self? Well, he said, keep yourself from idols. Amen. And I'll take the time, if we come back, I'll teach it all the way out. But you want to know two things I'll say, and I'll be done. Two things I can wrap this up and send you on with. Amen. Enough to make you better or make you ticked off at me. But self, you know what an idol is? An idol's more than something you can hold. Idolatry at its very foundation is man don't like the idea and the commandments of the true and living God, and so they want a God that they want and that agrees with them. That's why they make little Buddhas and different things, because they don't like the true God. Somewhere somebody turned their back on the true God because they didn't like Him and what He represented, and so they came up with another idea that was more conducive to them that they wanted. And rather than having a God that they would come into agreement with, they made a God in their own imagination that would agree with them. A God that wouldn't upset their apple cart. Amen. So here's how I end. Sister Candy, you come on. Psalm 115, you can look there or not look there. I've dealt with that psalm before in different ways from different angles. But the question is posed to the psalmist and the people of God, where is now their God? The psalmist boldly jumps up and says, I'll tell you where He is. He's in heaven and He hath done whatsoever He pleased. And the heathens are raging at the people of God because of their God. A God that can't be seen. A God that audibly can't be heard. A God, and the psalmist, Brother Tim, you remember, I've gone through it. The psalmist turns all that around. He said, y'all are mocking us for a God we can't see, but your God has eyes and can't see, has hands and can't handle, and ears and can't hear, and feet but can't run to you when you're in your deepest hour. And he's kind of scorning the heathen. Then I think it's verse number 8, and I won't get this word for word, Psalm 115 verse 8, David made this statement. He said, they who make them, talk about the idol, are like them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. So, preacher, what's the idea there? The idea is this: you become what you worship. You become what you worship. In fact, Can I word it this way in light of our thought? Who you are tells a lot about who you worship. Who you are says a lot about who you worship. And in these days we're living in, I'm done. But in these days we're living in, they ain't very many that's like Christ. That word and those commandments found in the book that have been preached down through the centuries of the church are being compromised in our day. You want to know why? Because people don't like the idea of who God really is and what He's really said. And there is a form of idolatry that has crept in that shows we're more interested in self than we are the sovereign God. Amen. And your relationship to the Savior will suffer greatly, and mine will too. I ain't just preaching to you. Mine will too if we're more interested in self than we are in what God has revealed about Himself in His Word. Amen. I'm done. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank You again tonight for helping us. Lord, we've preached and challenged, and Lord, sent out the Word again of warning. Lord, how we need a touch from God. Lord, when David sinned, he had to come back to You. Say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, he cried and he prayed, begging You to heal the bones that You had broke. Lord, he longed for You to cleanse him from the stain that his sinful choices had marked on his life. Lord, of all the things that he encountered, Lord, it seems like what really, really disturbed him the most was that sin and those sinful choices. Had in those days severed his relationship with Christ. Lord, we confess there's been too many days in our own that's taken place. I pray You'd teach us, Lord, how to walk in the power of Christ and His finished Word. May we receive instruction from Him on how to keep ourselves from sin so that the wicked one toucheth us not. Lord, teach us to take personal accountability. Lord, to take serious our walk with Christ. Lord, all that You do, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.